on Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Here we go, Michelle, just giving you some COVID numbers out of the UK because, you know, we were talking about the Rugby League World Cup and a decision was made early in the piece not to go. Do you feel vindicated by the decision given those numbers? 49,000 cases yesterday, middle of winter, albeit the World Cup would be over by the time we got to the middle of winter, but they're trending towards 100,000 cases a day.
Absolutely, I do. But I was more interested in the Miss France, because if it was Miss Australia, yes, that's right. We had to go down that list. Kids, marriage, tattoo, facial changes, more than half the field would totally, they just wouldn't meet the criteria here in Australia.
Well, that's right. I've said in the NRL, imagine if Peter Volandis came out with Andrew Abdo and they stood up at a press conference today and said, no longer will players be allowed to have tattoos and play in the NRL. We'd have a two-team league. Have the same
It'd
two
be
teams
terrible.
Play. You'd lose the... It'd all be gone. So no tattoos in the Miss France. Not even a sneaky one on the backside.
Boo! I'm sure we don't mind a little tramp stamp.
On the ankle or something. There we go. Amazing rules. Let's talk. Look, geez, we feel like we're covering so many stories these days about players on the decline or sporting stars in trouble, both on and off their respective fields. The first one at a Parramatta, or formerly of Parramatta, Michael Jennings. Where's he at?
Yeah, 15-year career just gone like that. Well, he's adamant he never intentionally took performance-enhancing drugs, but he has taken that three-year suspension, and he said it was for the sake of his family and his own health and well-being. He was, of course, provisionally suspended last October while playing for Parramatta after testing positive. Look, that sent the Eels' finals campaign into complete chaos. It was crazy. Look, the reality is to this, that no matter how good you are as a player, he's 33 years of age. It's safe to say that his career's over, but he's actually taken to social media to explain his side of the story and vowed to fight his way back. He'd be 36 years of age. And look, he was, I think, two matches away from joining the 300 club, 153 tries. As I say, what a career, 15 years. He won a premiership with the Roosters. I was actually with him the night that he had to walk around Penrith giving those tickets away to all the fans because of one of Phil Gould's alternative ways of dealing with his misdemeanor. He, of course, turned up drunk there at Penrith. But, yeah, he's had a very interesting career. But for him to come out on social media and he sort of said that while he's accepted the three-year deal, there is context behind the decision. He said, I maintain I have never intentionally used performance-enhancing substances. I built a career that I'm proud of. And he says that he has accidentally been exposed. So he maintains to this day he still does not know and could not know how any substances got into his system. He said he's fully cooperated from day one and still just sort of shaking his head, but he's done this. He thought if he takes the three-year suspension rather than fight it, he said it took just over a year to get this all done. He said it just would have played out. It would have been just too much of a toll on himself and his family. So he's taken the three-year suspension and he wants to fight his way back.
All righty. Well, I wish him well on that count, just on that that defence, you know, not knowing how it could have entered the system. In his presentation, he did list a number of possibilities of how it could have accidentally entered his system, how he could have been exposed to the prohibited substance, but they heard none of that. So that is the story on Michael Jennings, now out of sight and I guess out of mind. Now, David Warner, now his problems are on the field, David Warner.
Big time.
Just dead set as a, you know, Jack, he's looking on eBay where he can buy runs because he can't make it.
Can you do that?
Well, I know.
eBay, it's always good for something, isn't it, when you're missing something. But, yeah, the final warm-up game, 8-wicket defeat at the hands of India, 2 days out from the T20 World Cup. So Dave Warner under pressure, and that's on the back of that golden duck against New Zealand in the first warm-up game. And the two matches prior, I think it was a duck and two in the IPL. So he's failed to fire, out for just one, LBW trying to reverse sweep Ashwin in the second over. Look, the problem for Dave at the moment, I think, is his body language. He even looks frustrated. He looks nervous. He sort of tells us that he's struggling. Adam Gilchrist has come out and said, look, hang on a minute, you know, hold your horses. Don't write him off just yet. He's played very limited cricket, but it's certainly going to be a sleepless few nights for Justin Langer and the selectors. But on the other hand, we've got Steve Smith, his first half century in quite a while. He scored 57 off 48 balls. And other contributors, we had Glenn Maxwell, 37 off 28, Marcus Stoinis, 41 not out. So some serious improvement, you know, needed, though, in that top order. And we're running out of time, 2 days or so to go.
Yeah, I'll keep pushing the barrow of Josh Inglis because I think he's an incredibly exciting cricketer. But in one ball in the first warm-up game, he scored more runs than Dave Warner has scored in his last four innings. I mean, that's pretty damning. I mean, he just came out, went bang, bang, and Australia win the game. I'm just saying, if you've got players of that ability, and I know they're not the superstar type of David and would have the scrapbook of David Warner, but I think you got him over there in the tournament. I think you just go with it now. Go with it now. Jared Waitley said dilemma. Very late in the day, you're throwing out your plan A. Do they have the you-know-whats to do that?
That's the concern. And look, there is obviously still plenty of time for him. Look, Warner's a champion. He on the pitch, you know, I can't see... I think we'd be completely naive to completely write him off. I mean, let's see how the summer sorts itself out. It'll be one of those, you know, beautiful stories with a fairy tale ending that he bounced back. I'm sure he's just that type of character.
Yeah, well, but maybe not all forms of the game now for Dave Warner. He's maybe the swashbuckling batsman, brilliant hitter that he's been. He's provided so much entertainment. There's been few more entertaining players in the Test arena who batted like T20 in the Test. But we all reach the ends at some stage. And maybe that stage has arrived now for Dave Warner. And a great story in the Telegraph today. Johnny Lewis, Phil Rothfield's got the story. Johnny Lewis out of retirement at 77, the legendary Hall of Fame boxing trainer.
Yeah, well, so you kind of get the feeling that we are onto something unique when a legend like Johnny decides to come out of retirement, as you say, 77 years of age. Now, we did get a glimpse of Harry Garside in the Tokyo Olympics. He won bronze. We absolutely fell in love with him. He's just a straight-out, all-round nice guy. The fact that he admitted that being a boxer, he'd also dabbled in ballet and he wasn't embarrassed about it. He said he used it, you know, for strengthening in the legs, for the core, but he also got a buzz out of it. He loved dancing. He thought it was fantastic. After the event, we also learned that he had fought with a broken bone in his hand that required surgery. So he's just seems like a really good, genuine kid. But Johnny Lewis, he's trained Costa Zoo, Jeff Fenwick, Jeff Harding, so all sorts of world champions. His career spans 60 years. Started in Newtown in 1961. So he must see something special in this kid. And obviously, Harry sort of says but he's been doing it a bit tough with the amateur fighting. He wants to go professional now to be able to put, you know, food on the table. So it's just an all-round nice story. And we're also expected to hear today who Paul Gallen will fight, his next opponent. And we're obviously hearing that it will be Manly forward Josh LIA. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah, just now back to what we, and it piqued your interest, the Miss France, Michelle. Daniel from Adelaide, listening on the SEN app, has texted in, the Miss France rules remind me of the New York Yankees appearance rules. Since 1973, the New York Yankee Club has enforced an appearance policy regulating how their players must be presented. It states that players must have their hair cut above the collar of their baseball jersey and no beards are permitted. Is that right? Is that right? The New York Yankees in 2021, you can't have a beard. Can someone get up a website of the players, all of the hundreds representing the Yankees? You can't have a beard? Can you have a moustache, but you can't have a beard?
Look, standards have dropped over the... Standards have certainly dropped over the time. I mean, even with our New South Wales police force, there was once upon a time where you couldn't have tattoos and all that sort of stuff, but we are sort of, you know, moving with the times, I guess. But imagine if it was short back and sides and no tats in the NRL, we would be in some trouble.
Yeah, well, I need confirmation of that. So no beards in the New York Yankees fold. By the way, this text, Michelle, who is going to put crap on a boxer for doing ballet? That's one way to a broken nose. That's a fair
very
point.
True.
That's a fair point. Michelle, very entertaining, very informative, and you'll be back again 6:30 tomorrow morning for Ken Attire.
See you nice, bright and early.